This is Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that you are thankful. I hope you're thankful for more than just the blessings that God brings to you, but all the things He brings to you and all the people He brings to you. He does it for a reason, ultimately to give Himself glory. And I hope that's why you're here this morning. It's easy to lose track of those things and get caught up in all the other things, the fanfare of life, and get a little overwhelmed, a little discouraged because of what goes on in our lives and be in the face and look at life differently. But we're here for His glory and His honor. And if God can do anything in our lives and bring Him glory and honor, who are we to complain about what God might want to do with us? We should always be praising Him for all the good and all that we consider evil and bad and all the hardships, and just thank Him and say, boy, if God can get the glory, that's a great thing. So we're talking about Thanksgiving this morning, and obviously there's all kinds of definitions. I love this statement. I wish I remember who said it. I wrote it down years ago and put a quote on it, but I just forgot to put down who said it. And Thanksgiving is the vibration of the soul's heart strings under the soft touch of God's benevolence. And it's just to think that God can be so benevolent to us, so gracious to us, should move us, should cause us to change our thinking and to express to Him how we feel. It's a good thing to tell God thanks, don't you think? And I don't know that we do it near enough. How often would be enough? Thanksgiving Day should come more than once. Now, I don't know about that turkey more than once. How many still eating on turkey? Anybody? A few of you? That's not good. After 3 days, it should be burnt, you know? But the actual Thanksgiving and expressing thanks to God, what He's done, obviously is supposed to be something we do all the time. Great passage in Colossians. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He should be the focus of our thoughts. He should be who we're looking toward. He should be the one that we're thanking and expressing our gratitude for. It's the God of heaven. And I really pray that in the course of our message this morning and our thought process is that our minds will go toward Him. Because that's really what's important here, and that when we leave this place, we won't be so caught up in all the other things. It's this voluntary gratitude expressed to God for His person, His benefits. And what I want to do this morning, and we don't do this often, but I want us to read these verses together. Now, I'll tell you how most Christians read, all right? Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks to the remembrance of His holy name. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is feared above all gods. That's how most Christians read, all right? Because we have an obligation to read certain verses every day, so we've got to get through them. I want us to read this with emphasis. I remember my first time I met Billy Cook. I don't remember what it was, but someone was reading a passage of Scripture, and you made a comment to me. It would be nice if someone would read with a little, I don't know what word you used, but I know what you meant. So we're going to read this together, all right? And you're going to read it with emphasis. Now, I know this is hard for upstate New York people. And I had this conversation 2 weeks ago with someone, came and said, boy, New York people are kind of different, aren't they? You know, in church, they're not very responsive. And, you know, because a person comes from the South, Mary Jane knows, because you come from the South, Tennessee, and those places, during a church service, you hear things like, not like that. But, you know, you really hear. I mean, because you say something, and it's a blessing. You say, God is good, and someone says, all the time, or amen. I remember one time I was sitting in a meeting and a lady, I didn't think it was all that great of a message, and she just stood up and yelled, glory! I nearly had a heart attack. I didn't know how to respond to that. And my son comes to visit and preaches here. He doesn't know how to respond. He just doesn't know if you're alive or not. And I said, you learn New Yorkers. Their amens are different, you know? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. You just figure this out. They're just the way we do it. But you put them in a stadium in Buffalo, and they take their shirts off in 30-degree weather and paint themselves different colors. Go figure. Read this with me, will you? Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is feared above all gods. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Agree with that? Amen. All right, I have a few other verses I thought we'd read together this morning. And not many, just a few here. Now, if those who are computer literate know how long ago I made this list. When's the last time you saw paper hooked together? But it's an old dot matrix printer, and I did this years ago. I printed up all the verses that have the word thanks or thanksgiving in it in the Bible. Do you think God's got a message? Do you think he's trying to say something to us? Do you think it's important that we might give thanks to God? You believe it? I mean, God is clear that he wants us to give thanks to him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to honor him. He wants us to exalt him. And so I pray that during the course of our message this morning that we will be challenged as believers today to do that, to give thanks to his holy name, to give him praise. The Bible is clear, and I don't know if we truly understand the clarity of the Scripture as it relates to giving thanks. We know the verses. We quote them, in all things give thanks, in everything give thanks. We talk about it. We try to teach it at times. We'll memorize verses that relate to it. It's the living of it that really makes it tough. It's the everyday experiences that we go through that aren't always so pleasant. And I'm not as concerned as a general rule with the unpleasantness of physical circumstances as we are sometimes about the unpleasantness of personal circumstances. And we all go through trials and difficulties of great nature, and the Scripture is so clear that it's our obligations as believers on a constant basis to be thankful for what God's doing. And that's just not always easy. There are situations that arise, our disappointments with things that happen in our lives, the tragedies that befall us, and it's not always easy to be thankful. I have been greatly encouraged. Marilyn has been, and she may not know that, but Marilyn's been a great inspiration to me over the last few months in relationship to what God's been doing in her life, and God's a good God. And he deserves to be praised in all things. I was reading recently about Matthew Henry, and if you want to buy a set of commentaries, one of the old standard commentary set to buy is the Matthew Henry commentary sets. He has a commentary in the whole Bible. And I was reading an excerpt of his diary, which I thought was interesting. Now, just a short little excerpt, but I'll read it for you. He was accosted by thieves and robbed one day. And so he wrote in his diary these words. He says, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." I thought, wow, that's significant. And I don't know that we come to those same kind of conclusions and thought processes in our life. I heard once someone said, the effectiveness of our thanksgiving is based upon our sincerity. And the intensity is dependent upon the value we place upon the benefit. And I don't know how intense we are, but our intensity surely is because we're sincerely grateful for what we've gotten. And I think it's easy to be sincerely grateful for blessings and much more difficult to be sincerely grateful for hard times. And I think the intensity is the intensity to know that what God is doing, and if I can intensely believe that he is doing this for his glory, then I can withstand anything if it's for his glory. And so I think it's important that we recognize how important it is for all of us to delve with this whole issue of Thanksgiving. We know all the declarations that the country has done, and I'm grateful for those things. I always like it when the presidents do their declaration for Thanksgiving, and that's been going on for a lot of years. And I'm not opposed to that. I think it's a good thing, and I think that we should be grateful, and I'm grateful that the country sets aside a day officially to do that. I think it goes back even on my thinking to the Old Testament and the days of Thanksgiving that Israel set aside. I think it's a good thing for a country to do that, not just to get a day off from work, but to say as a country we're grateful. And I am grateful as a citizen of this country. I'm grateful I'm here. I'm grateful for the things that God's given to us and for the leaders He's put over us. And so I'm grateful that our country has done those things. But my Thanksgiving cannot rest in what our country does. My Thanksgiving has to rest in the Lord. It has to be in Him. He has to be the focus of my attention. He has to be the foundation of what I do. If Thanksgiving makes my country a better place, wonderful, I'm happy for that. But if my Thanksgiving makes my God happy, I'm thrilled with that. To think God is thrilled with our Thanksgiving is beyond comprehension, that He looks to us and enjoys our praise. I was thinking this morning, and we were just singing there, and so many of you can sing, and that's a nice thing. Some of us aren't gifted in that area, Mark and I for sure, but God even enjoys ours, Mark. And so you and I can sing as loud as we want, God's happy. The rest around us, that's another issue, but God is praised. Of course, in gratitude, I read this, Thanksgiving's effectiveness, I said a minute ago, down below, we ask God to provide for us, and when He does, we congratulate ourselves upon our success. I was thinking this the other day about how easy it is for people to have this spirit of ingratitude. And kids are famous for that. You know, we want our kids to grow up and be thankful, don't we? And we really do. I mean, how often do parents say something to the effect, well, when I was your age, you know, I never had, right? And how many of your kids have more than you have? Is that true? Most of our kids have more than we have. And the older you are, and I don't want to point people out in that regard, but there seems to be a lack of appreciation for the blessings we have. It's just amazing. I mean, now look at the toys. My wife and I yesterday went out and sinned greatly. And found little gifts to send our grandkids, you know, because they send envelopes in California with all the little things in it. So we went to Big Lots and the really high spending stores and found gifts to put in it because they're going to be thrilled with the gift, right? And when we were kids, we were thrilled if we found what? A rubber band that we could shoot and hit somebody with. And one of the favorite toys we had in our house was junk. And our backyard is full of junk. I don't know if you grew up, we kind of grew up in a poor neighborhood, so we had boards and sticks and tires and rims in our backyard, which were great things. So we lay them out all over the yard and jump from one item to the other. That was a toy to us. Now I can just imagine the kids, why don't you go out and play? Well, there's nothing to do. Go play with the junk. They wouldn't be very grateful for that. God wants us to be grateful, and there is a problem, obviously, that people just don't do that anymore. They just don't thank God for what they have. There's a great ingratitude to that. Of course, there's a great verse on that in the Paul's epistles to Timothy, and he writes to them that in perilous times, in the last days, people would become ungrateful and unthankful. Ingratitude, defined, ingratitude is the attitude of a person who receives good and perfect gifts without so much as an appreciative nod in the direction of the donor, whether it be human or divine. People have a tendency to fall into these traps of ingratitude. They find themselves in situations where they give no thanks to God. It's like almost, if you will, they're disappointed if God doesn't do exactly what they want Him to do. And I'm not sure I understand. I understand in an emotional sense, but in a theological sense, why would we ever be disappointed with what God is doing? Well, because it's not what we want Him to do. It's not how we want Him to work. And we become unthankful because He's working in a way that we're really not happy with. But know this, in perilous times come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Not a good commendation, obviously, on the state of what men are and what they will be. But this morning, and all that just an introduction, I just want to talk about this in three different areas and look in the Scripture in regard to this, about when we should give thanks. Now, I know we can just make a statement, give thanks all the time, and I don't think that's inaccurate. I think that's an accurate statement. I don't think that that's an inaccurate statement, but I think by saying that, sometimes we just say it and then just pass it off as if it doesn't matter. I think there are times when you should do it, and I'm just going to mention this, and you can read through it. I don't have time to do that this morning. I think it's good to set a time to do this. I think if you plan to say thanks, I think it's a good thing to do. Make plans for it. We made plans for it. Thanksgiving Day for us was the day to express Thanksgiving. And so we just planned for it. It was a planned activity. We sat together at our dinner table, and before we eat, we go around the room and express Thanksgiving. And I'm sure many of the families here have that same tradition in their homes, just to express Thanksgiving. We call the kids on the phone in California, put them on the phone, so because we go from youngest to oldest, and so we had to go through all of them in California too, and to express their Thanksgiving. I think it's good to plan it. In Leviticus 7, you can read through this later on, it was one of the offerings in the Old Testament. It was a peace offering, and it was also could be used as a voluntary Thanksgiving offering. And aren't you thankful for Jesse? Just throw that out. Rainey, you still thankful? Okay, I didn't know after this long of a period of time, keeping up all night and all that. But we're thankful for those things, and we need to express our Thanksgiving for them. I think birthdays are great times to give Thanksgiving, don't you? Say, well, thankful. I mean, I'm still alive. That's a pretty good thing to be thankful for, to give God Thanksgiving. We need to pinpoint times and places and say, this is the day I want to spend my day giving thanks to God. I want to do that. And I think as families, and as Israel came together, he brought them together and said, I want you to come together and give thanks. It's interesting, the parallels in this offering. The offer would come, and he'd bring the sacrifice to the temple, and he cut it up, and I won't go into details because sometimes it gets a little gross this time of day. All the inside things, and they would sacrifice them, and the priest would get certain items to eat, and then the leftovers were taken home, and the offerer would then eat on the leftovers for 3 days. Now, doesn't that sound like Thanksgiving to you? And to eat on this thing for 3 days, after 3 days, they have to burn it. And that's why I tell my wife, after 3 days, that turkey needs to be burnt. You can't eat it after 3 days, but they'd have to burn it after 3 days. But it was like a reminder for them for 3 days of God's many blessings to them. It was a Thanksgiving offering. So I think it's important that we take and officially take times to do this. Romans chapter 14 talks about observing days and so forth. He makes this comment in this passage, says, he who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. Now, I don't know what your habit is, but it might be a good idea to give thanks before you eat something. It just might be. Now, I don't know how you want to do it. I mentioned this before. I had a friend in college. He felt like he could do this all at the beginning of the week. And so he and his wife would go grocery store, buy all the groceries, set them to the kitchen table, thank the Lord for the food, and then he never prayed over the meals because he'd already given thanks at the beginning of the week. Some may agree that's the right way to do that. I don't know. It seems like to me it misses the point. But needless to say, we should be grateful for the way we eat, or maybe the way we overeat. The indulgences we have here are remarkable. In comparison to the way most of the world eats, God is gracious to give us. And by the way, God gives you exactly what you need in that regard. And we need to be grateful for that. And I think Israel made that clear. Jesus, numerous times in the course of his ministry, gave thanks for the meals that he was about to partake. And so I think it's a good thing that we might do that. Every creature is good. God gave it to us. So we need to receive it with thanksgiving. And I suppose that even means Brussels sprouts and spinach and asparagus, which I grew up not giving thanks for. obviously, there are other times that we need to do it. There's a great psalm, Psalm 119. The psalmist makes this. He said, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Can I just say that there are times when God will prompt you in your depths of your heart and soul to help you to realize that this is a good time to give him thanks. And I think there may be times we wake in the middle of the night and we don't take opportunities to do it. We think, wow, it must be that food. Must be I overate. Must be acid indigestion. Well, maybe God wants you up and be giving him thanks. I think we need to do that at every moment in time when God reminds us of things. And how often does God remind us of things? The many, many times that God moves in our hearts, I think it's important. And obviously, we're quite aware of the Ephesians 5:20 passage, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's everything. It's not just the good things in life, but even the tough things, the bad things, the hard things. And if you live long enough, you're going to have something go hard in your life. Things will not always go well. And those who are older here can testify to the fact it doesn't work out just like you planned it. Things don't always happen like you think they're supposed to happen. And it's learning to say, I want to give thanks always for all things, always for all things. Whenever God's working, which is all the time, then obviously we're supposed to give thanks to Him. I want us to turn to Daniel's passage. I wrote it up here, but let's just turn to it in the book of Daniel just real quickly here. Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, we come into a crisis moment in Daniel's life. It seemed like Daniel lived in crisis moment after crisis moment. It wasn't like this was unusual for him. This was norm for him. And so in this passage of Scripture, verse 3 tells us that Daniel was a man that had become quite distinguished. He obviously possessed, it says in my translation, an extraordinary spirit. And the king appointed him as into a high position in the kingdom. And so verse 4 tells us that apparently there was some jealousy, and it says the commissioners and others were trying to find something they could accuse Daniel over. And so they couldn't find anything. This man was obviously above reproach, and they couldn't find any evidence of any corruption, anything he was doing wrong. He was very faithful, so they just couldn't find anything. And so they conspired, obviously, a way to do it. And so they came to King Darius, verse 6, and told him to live forever, and said that the king should establish this statute and its injunction that they shouldn't pray to any god or anybody else other than the king for 30 days. You remember the establishment. And the king thought that was a good idea. That's not a very smart king, by the way. And so the king established the injunction, verse 8. He signed the document, and it became the law. And then verse 10 says, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, what did he do? He entered into his house, which is in the roof chambers. He opened the windows toward Jerusalem. And next word, he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and what? Giving thanks before his God. Now, if that was you or I, what exactly would you be praying? Like no one would see you in your window? That you wouldn't get caught, that this is a very dangerous situation, and Lord, deliver me, I'm in trouble. I mean, maybe that would be our prayer request, but his prayer was to pray to God and give thanks to God. And notice the last phrase, as he had been doing previously. And I suggest to you that people pray in tragic situations because they made it a habit before the tragic situation got there. You might call that spiritual preventive maintenance. It's making things right before they need to be made right. It's a habit. Do you have a habit of prayer and thanksgiving to God? Is that a habit? Most people pray more when they're in trouble than when they're not in trouble, right? Most. But wouldn't it be great if your prayer did not change whether you were in trouble or not? Daniel just carried on as normal. This is the way he normally lived, giving thanks to God. So may I suggest to you that great need's a good thing that might drive us to prayer and thanksgiving, but it would be a whole lot better if we had already made that a part of who we were and a part of our everyday living. Turn to Luke's gospel. I've written it up here, but I'd love it if you just turn there. Luke 17. Great passage of scripture in Luke's gospel. And I put on here, when we see what great things God has done for us, and I think this passage will bear out some of those things and many others as well. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 11, it tells us that Jesus was going between Samaria and Galilee. It tells us he entered a village, verse 12, 10 leprous men who stood at the distance met him, and they raised their voices, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, can I tell you, that's a miracle, okay? It's a miraculous intervention of God to take a person who is incurable and completely heal them. And so they were cleansed. Verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back and glorified God with a loud voice. How do you think he responded to that? Do you know what a loud voice is? Now, I watch you men sometimes, you're around here talking with one another. I got a feeling that at home you can talk louder than that. I'm sure some of you ladies can. Is there any lady, I know you have a real sweet, soft voice here. Any of you ladies that have one of those kind of voices, know how to let it go if you need to? My mother was one of those real soft-spoken little ladies, you know. She was so sweet at church. It reminds me of, well, it doesn't remind me of right here, I'm teasing. And she was real soft-spoken. And I remember at home, she could, if she wanted to, allow it to flow. Was that the right way to put that? And I remember one time I had made comment to that everyone at church thinks you're so sweet. And she smacked me upside the head and said, "I am sweet." I wasn't going to argue with her. I think the point is this guy turned around and screamed bloody murder. I mean, he was thrilled to pieces. This was the most glorious thing that's ever happened to him. He was healed. And so he runs back shouting and glorifying God. It says with this loud voice, he saw him being healed. He turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked this question, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And so he had him stand up. He says, "Your faith has made you whole." Why? Why is it that only one came back? Why would that happen? What causes people to be so blessed by God's benevolence and not be able to see it? People are blinded to the blessings of God, don't you think? They don't see it. Surely you go through a whole day and not recognize the blessings of God, do you? Do you think there's things that God's doing in your life and making blessings upon you that you aren't even aware of? Wouldn't it be great if God would open our eyes to help us to see His blessings that He's brought in our life? Let us see those. Help us to recognize the benevolence of God, His goodness, His greatness. Only one of these 10 guys saw it. What a sad thing that they didn't see it. And God, help us that we would have eyes that were a whole lot better than that, that we would give thanks. Well, how are we going to do this? And I don't want to belabor a lot of these and take a lot of time with them, but I do want to make some points about these things. I love it when parents are working with their kids and their kids are arguing and fighting and they make them stop, you know, stop beating your sister up or something. And then tell your sister you're sorry. Don't you love it when they tell them that? Tell your sister you're sorry. And he does what? "I'm sorry." You know, this great emotional intensity, sincerity flowing over him, right? He says, "I'm sorry." How sorry is he? Well, he's our kid. He's really sorry, right? Is he sorry in character? Is he sorry he got caught? We would love it if our kids sincerely were sorry, would we not? Voluntary issues are really critical, I believe, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how to emphasize this enough. I think that in a lot of cases within the Church of Jesus Christ, people don't do things voluntarily. I think they may do it out of sense of duty. And we could be grateful for their sense of duty because maybe at least something got done. I think sometimes people go to church out of a sense of duty. They feel obligated, you know, if they don't, what people are going to think or, you know, or whatever, or because, you know, everyone expects them to do it or they don't want anybody to say anything bad about them. And so they don't go to church because they want to go to church. They feel obligated to go to church. I don't want my kids ever to come to me and say, thank you, Dad, out of obligation. I would like them to come say thank you because they want to. I think it means more when they want to. I was thinking about the songs we sang this morning. Most of those songs were related to Thanksgiving. And I don't know if we were singing in obligation. I don't know if we were thinking, well, a sense of duty, I've got to sing because everyone else is singing. Or in our heart of hearts, we really, truly were voluntarily coming to God and giving Him thanks. That was the whole point of the offerings of the Old Testament. Thanksgiving offerings, they were voluntary. They were something we're supposed to choose to do. And so I would challenge you as a believer today that you work on this issue of making sure it's your choice to do and you're choosing to do it because you want to do it. You want to say thanks to God. The other issue, Luke 17, we just read that passage. He came back and humbly fell before God because he recognized that what God had done for him wasn't something God promised to do for him. God wasn't the one under obligation to do this. That it's God's great grace that does anything for us, and we don't deserve any good thing, folks. We just don't. And we shall humble ourselves before God who does great things for us. It's not somehow that God looks at us and says, well, you guys are great people. I can do great things for you. He's just a great God. And we don't always come to Him with humility. We don't always come to Him. We kind of, in some respects, come with this kind of this expectation. I know there's kind of a movement in the church today to say, well, you pray for this thing and this God's supposed to do this. I think it's rather arrogant to sit back and say that we know what best God can do and that we can sit back and pray and say, God, here's the six things I need you to do today. I think, if I'm not mistaken, as I read the Scripture, God knows best what to do. And it surely isn't me that knows best what to do. Now, I think I can make some suggestions, but I really don't think it's my place to tell Him what to do. In fact, I'm grateful in my reflection on my life is I'm grateful for the times when I prayed, He didn't do what I asked. Because, tell you the truth, I ain't all that smart. And I found out He knows a lot more about it than I do. Do you think? And so I think Thanksgiving comes to God. You come to God with a humble spirit and say, you know what? Lord, I don't know what to be thankful for. I don't know what to ask for, but I'm just coming and thanking you humbly because I don't deserve anything you've given me, good or bad. And if God, perchance, would cause me to go through this illness or tragedy or difficulty or loss of job or financial setback, and if this is what you want for your glory, who am I in my pride to come to you and tell you you're doing wrong here? Isn't God in charge? And isn't that our perspective? Not us coming to God with humility. The sacrifice of praise. It's an amazing thing. Hebrews 13, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And I don't think that's just in song. I think that our mouths should open up and we should say good things about God. We should be praising Him, giving Him thanks. It's a wonderful thing. I mentioned my mother in kind of a bad way. Can I mention a good way? That way if she comes to visit, you don't say anything bad about what I said. My mother expressed Thanksgiving all the time. It's just what she did. It's what we grew up in. And things would go and something would happen in our life, and she would just say, well, thank the Lord, He did this. This is a woman who lost her husband. She had six kids to raise by herself. She had no money. She had nothing coming in. She worked hard to raise six kids and take care of them. I mean, we lived an absolutely horribly difficult life. We never knew it was a difficult life as kids. You know why we didn't know it was a difficult life? Because it wasn't difficult for her. Because everything good that happened, everything bad that happened, she was just saying, well, thanks the Lord, this is what God wants us to go through right now. I mean, if you bring a psychologist in there, they would think she was off her rocker because bad things happen, and she'd say, well, I wonder what God's going to do now. She just expressed thanksgiving all the time. She was always thankful. God wants us to always be thankful in the fruit of our lips, and in the course of that, we're supposed to sing and shout using our lips, the praise and shout. So Mark and I, when we're singing, we're shouting, and you guys are singing. But it's the same thing as far as God is concerned. And I mentioned earlier about how that we need to shout. We need to sing with a little vigor, right? And if you want to clap, go right ahead. I know we can't always keep time. All right, but if you want to clap, clap. That's okay. If you want to sit down while we sing, because I know some of you are saying, well, we stand too much when we sing. Well, then sit down. You're not required to stand up, right, are you? If you want to sit down and sing, sit down and sing. You want to lay down. You want to bring a lounger, put it in the back, go right ahead. As long as you can do it with a little enthusiasm. You know, just have some spunk. Sing and shout to the Lord. It even says they dance to the Lord in Psalm 150. You go figure that one out. Tom's teaching a class on that in the next course. Psalm 92, verse 1, the song for the Sabbath day is a good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praise to his to your name, O Most High. God needs to be praised. He needs to be sung to. We need to sing praises to him and even use instrumentations in that regard. God needs to be praised. He needs to be shouted to. And I think there's another issue, too, that I think is really critical. In Nehemiah, this is in one of the Thanksgiving prayers, it says, the leader who began the Thanksgiving with prayer. I don't know what your prayer life is, but one of the things I've been trying to emphasize this morning is developing a habitual prayer life that incorporates some things. And I think it's good to pray for things that you need. I don't think that's wrong. I think God wants us to. He says, you have not because you ask not. So you're supposed to ask for things. You're supposed to share God your needs and your feelings. You're supposed to share God how you feel about things. It says he's touched with the sense of the feelings of our infirmities, and we share God how we feel. You can't but read the Psalms and know that God knows how we feel about things because he was it says, tempted in all points just like we are, so he can be moved with those type things. One of the critical things that I believe that we're supposed to do in the course of our prayer life is be thankful. Now, how do you do that? Make a list? Probably wouldn't be a bad idea. Have you ever just sat down and made a list of all the things to be thankful for? How many have ever made a list of all the things not to be thankful for? Now, you may not write them down, but how many ever dwell on those things, what not to be thankful for? I mean, and what happens when you dwell on the things not to be thankful for? And you think, oh, man, I got this and I got this. When it rains, it pours. Why did we come up with that kind of statement? Right? Troubles comes in threes. Why is that? Because we're great about making lists of bad things. I wonder how great we are about making a list of good things. And I think God would have us to make sure that in the course of our prayer and our thanksgiving, that God would have us in our prayers to give thanksgiving a big part of that prayer. Gratefulness for the hardships and the good things and the people that God brings in this life. And also it should be increasing. I believe it should be something that we see more in older people than younger people in the Lord. I think the older you get, the more grateful you should be because the more you should be aware of God's goodness. This should be an abounding thing in us, not a decreasing thing. It's a sad thing to see older people become embittered rather than abounding in thanksgiving. So why do we do this? Now, I could give you a long list of things, and you, I'm sure, could find a lot of reasons why to give thanks. I'm going to give you one this morning. And the one I'm going to give you is, I think, the most important one of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. If God, perhaps, could be glorified by our thanksgiving. Say, well, we thank God because we want to feel better about ourselves. Well, maybe you might feel better about yourself. If we give thanksgiving, we might teach our kids to be more grateful and less ungrateful. If we start giving thanksgiving, maybe we'd look at life in a better and more positive viewpoint. Maybe all those things are true. But if we can focus on the fact that our thanksgiving gives God glory, isn't that what we're here for? To give God glory. That He somehow, in the course of our lives, would be exalted by our thanksgiving. That somehow He would be raised up. That His name would go forth. That His cause would go forth in the world. We would give glory to Him. Greatest reason I can think of to give thanks to God. Not just to say, well, I'm thankful it wasn't worse than it was. I'm thankful because whatever. But to say, I'm so thankful because this is going to give God glory. Whatever this might be. The greatest reason I can think of our lives. God is sovereign. God is in control. And God is working in each of our lives, both good and bad, to bring about His cause and His glory. It would be best that we understood that and lived that way. You want to be full of joy? You want to have unspeakable joy? Learn the lesson that God wants us to get on board with His program, because guess what? It is His program, not ours. And it's for His glory, not ours. His and His alone. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and we're thankful, Lord, for the gift of thanksgiving. To think that somehow You are exalted and glorified and honored that we would express how we feel about You and what You've done for us. That we would express our gratefulness, our gratitude, our loving kindness for Your greatness in our lives. And that You would like that and would enjoy that. It seems, Lord, that this is an activity of eternity. And that throughout eternity, we will be giving thanks and praise to You. It seems it would be a good thing right now to get into practice of that. We pray that our life might be permeated with thanksgiving to You. We might humbly come before You, recognize that You are to receive all the glory and all the honor. And if, Lord, any circumstance that befalls us in our lives of sickness and hardships, help us, Lord, to look at that in the exact same way we look at all the other things. Lord, we want You to be exalted. We want You to be honored. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.